Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So happy Eve of Wednesday. I don't know if we say happy during Holy Week, but you know, it's a great week. How's everybody doing? Okay, this is kind of the point I feel usually Tuesday night, where things now really, like, Good Friday is going to be here like tomorrow. It's going to go by really fast, and I know we always say that stuff, but truthfully, that's how I feel. And in case you're wondering what's going on with my voice, no, I'm not practicing. Maybe God is destroying and recreating. Maybe I'll have a great voice after Holy Week is done. But I'm good. I'm all good. Thank you for all the honey, the meta. Like, I'm good. Thank you so much. We're good. We're all good. So let's start looking through the readings of today, and we'll start actually with the morning readings. If you could tell, the evening readings were pretty short. We actually got through the evening readings, and if you're wondering if you're new to Holy Week, that's short. Okay, for like the readings, that's short. So the evening readings were short. We had actually a lot more prophecies and homilies and things like that in the morning. So if you can open up your lectionary with me, we are going to start the very first reading in the first hour, which comes to us from Exodus, and it kind of gives us, again, the framework of what today is all about. So right in the middle, basically, this is after the people have been freed from slavery and all these things, and God is commanding Moses to say these things to the people. So like, if you kind of go down to the middle of the prophecy there, he says, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and to the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a special people to me above all nations, for all the earth is mine." And then later on, the people respond, okay, at the very end, after God tells them this, they said, "Everything the Lord said, we will do and hearken to." So Moses reported these words to God. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the pillar of cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. So right off the bat, we see God kind of establishing this covenant, right? He's established this covenant with his people. And what he wants is a relationship. What he wants is a relationship. We read it sometimes as just obeying of commands. But even thinking about like those who obeyed the commands of God and later messed up and repented, God would still honor their repentance. Okay, so it's not God is saying be perfect in the commands. Sometimes we read that a little like, David is a perfect example of that. King David is a perfect example because David, they would say, yeah, he followed the commands, he's the greatest king. But we know David did some like crazy stuff, okay? So David, despite that, because he repented, he had that connection with God. So right off the bat, God is establishing this relationship with them. And he's telling them it's based on what I did for you. I initiated the relationship. The people agree. So you would say, okay, this is probably going to be a pretty smooth sailing. Okay, if we don't know anything about the Bible, it's going to be smooth sailing. But if you go to the third hour, and the first prophecy in the third hour shows us not very smooth sailing. The first prophecy in the third hour is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this passage has become, for me, a personal favorite. Because it's given to the people of Israel long time ago, but it actually applies to our modern day very much. Read it real quick, and maybe I'll have some volunteers read for us as well today. We'll do it a little bit different today. The very first line, "Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, judgments, and ordinances I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your cattle and sheep multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of bondage." And you say that's kind of strange. Don't forget the Lord your God. We just finished God telling them, "I freed you from slavery." Imagine in your mind. You were free from slavery. Let's put it in kind of our modern context. Let's say you had a debt, a great debt. Okay, let's say you owed, I don't know, $100,000. Okay, high interest. Okay, to make the stakes a little higher. Okay, high interest, huge debt. Okay, and then somebody comes and says, "I got this debt." Would you ever forget that person? Like, would anybody here, would you ever forget that person? You'd be like the worst human. Like, would you ever forget that person? Like, there's no way you would forget that person. But God is giving them a warning. And you're like, wait a minute. How can they, like, messing up, okay, we get. But forgetting God? Like, what do you mean forgetting God? Like, is that even possible? It actually is very possible. The wisdom of Sirach tells us it's very possible, and this is in the sixth hour. The wisdom, if you wanted to highlight something, in the sixth hour in Sirach, he says the following. He says, don't set your heart on your possessions and say, and here's kind of our theme for today, I am independent. Don't set your heart on your possessions and say, I am independent. Do not follow yourself and your strength as to walk in the desires of your heart. We'll come back to that. Independence in our modern context sounds really nice, sounds attractive, sounds like something we all want. Independence in the spiritual context is poison, is detrimental. Independence is what led the people to forget God. Independence is what led the people to forget God. And you say, how? God warned them, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a lot of things. I'm going to give you a lot of things. But don't mistake the gift for me. They saw the gift. They loved the gift. They said, oh, we're going to have these gifts forever. And we're going to rely on these gifts. And now I'm independent. What do I need God for? I'll just go to that idol God. And that idol God does whatever I tell him. Okay, that's why idolatry was so attractive. Is because the people felt like they were in control. I want it to rain tomorrow, so I'm going to go to this idol and then pray for rain. I want a child. I'm going to go to this idol and pray so that I can have this child. That's why idols were like very attractive. And God said, be careful. Do not forget. Do not forget. Independence was the root issue of their problem. And if you want to know how bad the people forgot, okay? You want to know how bad the people forgot? The prophecy from Isaiah in the sixth hour is a famous prophecy, and it is one of the funniest prophecies. So if you go to Isaiah chapter 1, so the prophecy in Isaiah in the sixth hour, he says, I have begotten and brought up sons. This is God talking about his people. But they rejected me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey the master's crib, but Israel does not know me. And the people do not understand. So God is comparing the people of Israel to what? Yeah. Okay. A donkey. He's saying the donkey is smarter than you guys. Like the donkey is smarter than you. The donkey doesn't think that he's independent. The donkey knows his owner. The donkey knows that when I get food, oh, the owner gave me food. The donkey knows when I get water, oh, the owner gave me the water. And he says, my people, the house of Israel, they don't even get it. He says, not only that they rejected me, they don't even understand me anymore. Like, I'm way gone in their memory. I've completely forgotten about God. We see this theme throughout the readings of today. Okay, both the morning and in the evening. This is why we tell people, like, if you're not able to come to the morning, mornings are amazing. But if you're not able to come in the mornings, at least do the readings. Because a lot happens in the mornings. We see the difference between those who follow God and God's ways and do their best to follow God's ways and those who live independently. Those who think they got it all figured out. We read about Job earlier this morning, about Elijah, and we read about Noah. Three men followed God. Followed God. Followed God when times were tough, Job. Followed God when they seemed like they were all alone, Elijah, and that's what he was complaining about. Followed God despite people thinking around them that they were crazy, Noah. Okay, imagine somebody building a huge ark, okay? People, times are tough. All alone. People think I'm crazy, but they follow God. What's the result, based on the scripture that we read today, of those who followed God and those who were independent? On the surface, at least temporarily in the beginning, and this is what fooled the people, on the surface, it felt like those who were independent had won. Things were looking good. And that's actually one of Job's complaints. One of Job's complaints is like, here I am, I'm following God, and you know what? Like, I see that person, he's not following God, and they're doing just fine. I'm following God and all these things are happening to me. Like, what's going on? On the surface, temporarily, things are better off. But in the end, if we continue with that passage from Isaiah, in the end, a life of independence will lead to this. If you go to the next page in your lectionary, it said the whole head is in pain and the whole heart in sadness. From the feet all the way to the head, there is no soundness in them, only wounds and bruises and festering sores. They have not been closed or bandaged or soothed with ointment. To me, this describes everything. When I see, like, when I meet with people and I see somebody that wants to live with God, wants to follow God, and times are tough, and I'm saying, like, just, I promise, just stick it through. Just stick it through. Because you think the other side is better, I promise you it's not. Because I've seen the other side. And this description couldn't be any better. This description, the whole head is in pain, the whole heart is in sadness. Everything, pain, wounds, bruises, sores. Isn't that what we see around us? Isn't that what we see people are hurting? Isn't that what we see? To me, this message of following God versus independence, I think is key. Because we've been talking a lot this week about silence in the beginning of the week. We talked a lot about God is coming to clean things up in our hearts. To me, this is one area that needs that thorough examination. That we can't just say, yeah, I follow God. I mean, like, I go to church, like, whatever, like, I follow God. This is an area where we really have to sit with ourselves and examine, are we following God truly? Are we following God truly? Or am I saying that I'm following God? And really, my hope is that I just lead God to follow me. Like, that God would agree with me based on how I'm living my life. I wrote down three things based on that verse from Sirach that I told you guys to highlight. Sirach told us, do not follow yourself. Do not follow your strength. And do not walk in the desires of your heart, because the heart is deceptive, right? So let's break those down into three things. Do not follow yourself. To me, what it means to me, when I'm examining me, and you can interpret it how you're examining yourself. Follow God with an open mind. Follow God with an open mind. Allow room for God in your life to change your mind about something. Don't be stubborn, okay? Don't be stubborn. Like, you've met somebody that's stubborn, and no matter the evidence that you put, aren't those the most frustrating people? Like, you put the evidence in front of them, and there's the evidence, and there's the evidence, and there's the evidence, and nothing's going to change my mind. Isn't that frustrating when you deal with somebody that's stubborn? It's frustrating for God. One word that way. Not because God gets frustrated, but because God wants to help us. God wants to heal us. The way this practically looks in my life is I bring every decision that I'm making in my life to God in prayer. I'm not just saying, oh yeah, yeah, we're praying about that. Like, we've all said those things. Like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm praying about it. I'm praying about the decision. But like, am I really praying about it, or am I just saying I'm praying about it? Like, am I really praying with like an open mind that maybe God could change my mind about something? And when we pray, it doesn't mean that something, like, sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's not. But at least am I bringing it to God with an open mind to see what God is telling me? Have an open mind that sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. And we don't like to feel wrong. It doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. But sometimes I'm wrong. And sometimes God shows us the right way. You know when we know for sure we're wrong? When we know that we don't have this open mind? You ever read something in scripture or heard something in a sermon? And you're like, yeah, I know what they're saying. But, like, I kind of apply that, but kind of in this other way. And, like, I justify it this way or that way. And you kind of start to do, like, some spiritual mental gymnastics in your head. Have you ever done that? The spiritual mental gymnastics? Like, God says, do not commit adultery. Yeah, of course. And then he explains what adultery is. And you're like, yeah, but like, come on. Like, you know, do not like, don't be greedy. Like, don't put your treasures focus on treasures in heaven, not on earth. You're like, yeah, of course, treasures in heaven, of course. I'm a Christian, come on, of course, treasures in heaven, of course. But are we really? Are we justifying it? So we have to follow God with an open mind, that God can change our opinion and our decision making on how we do certain things. And the way I do things 5 years ago doesn't mean that I have to continue to do the same things 10 years after that. God can create ways for us to change and to do different things and to make different decisions. So we follow God with an open mind. We follow God with open hands. We follow God with open hands. And this is so important. We follow God with open hands. Don't take this personally, okay? Everything, like 99% of the stuff that we worry about, 99% of the stuff we worry about, 99% of the stuff we are thinking about day in and day out, it's nothing. It's useless. 99% of it, nothing. It's completely useless. Like, we are walking around and we're holding on tight for dear life, that everything matters so much because we're trying to create paradise here, and that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. 99% of the stuff we worry about is nothing. It's going to be gone like this. It's temporary. And that's why it's so important. It's so important that we treat everything, that nothing is mine. I don't own anything, but that everything, I'm a steward. God. And you know how you can test this, by the way, if you want to, like, an easy test for this in your heart? Is there anything in your life that if God took it away, you'd be bitter at God? Is there anything in your life that if God took it away, you'd be bitter at God? And that tells you right there, that's not open hands. That's not open hands. Like, let's be honest. If I'm going to get bit, like, my natural reaction, if my instinct is, no, God, that was wrong, you know that was wrong. Okay. Open hands or not? Is this temporary or not? Are we looking for the resurrection of the dead or not? There's a prayer that the priest says, when the priest is going around the altar with the censer. Okay. The priest is going around the altar with the censer. And when the priest is doing that, he's praying for a lot of things. He's praying for, like, the peace of the church. He's praying for, like, the clergy and the hierarchy and all those things. But one thing he's praying for, he's actually praying for the congregation, the people, okay? And so every liturgy, the priest, that's why we say, when you ask me to pray for you, I automatically, if you've noticed this about me, I say what? You pray for me too. Because I'm already doing it, okay? So I need to also do it. But what we're praying for in that moment is we're praying for the congregation, for the people, that they are, that they have houses of prayer, purity, and blessing, but also that they allow us to minister to them, okay? That the people allow the clergy to minister to them. But then the priest says something. He says, for me and for those who come after me. Meaning what? It's temporary. This, like the priesthood, it's a great gift. Very thankful. It's a great gift. It's temporary. Everything, temporary. So like this is temporary. In your life, things, they're temporary. Steward every gift to the best of your ability, but never forget that you're not the owner. And that was their problem. That was the people's problem. God gave them. They said, oh, we're good. We don't need God anymore. We have everything. It's like, what just happened? Like, God is the one who gave you. They forgot. They wanted independence. And independence is very dangerous. So we follow God with an open mind, open hands, and with an open heart. And this is the week where we're going to keep begging you. Okay, this is basically like our pleading and begging. Okay, this is the week where you can't be afraid to bring anything to God. You can't be afraid to bring anything to God. There's nothing that's too shameful to bring to God. There's nothing that's, yeah, but no, I don't really struggle with that. Like, it's okay. Just admit it. Like, that's the first step. God, when we read about, like, the wrath of God and things like that, Father Anthony talked to us about that yesterday, about that's like the deep love of God. You know, when we go to God and we expect to, like, I actually see this in confession in a small way. People come in confession and they're confessing. And if somebody's been like through a lot, maybe this is the first time coming back to the church or whatever, and they're like, you know, and people are crying and there's tears and like, and they're expecting me to say like, how could you? Like, what are you thinking? You did all that? Okay, go home and do like, you know, 600 prostrations. Okay, like. And in the end is always the same. Let's stand up so I can pray the prayer of absolution for you. In the end, may God absolve you. In the end, God has forgiven you. God tells us. He tells us this. Come. Come to me. I'm lowly in heart. I'm meek. I'm gentle. I'm humble. Come to me. He's not here to reprimand you. He's here to heal you. This is why Jesus tells us that he's the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. God is like saying he's light of the world. Basically, I'm recognizing that the only way I can walk in life is it's like as if God's like a flashlight. God's a flashlight and it's dark everywhere. And I'm just going where the flashlight is leading me. I'm going where the flashlight is leading me. But if I try to do it on my own, I'm just going to be in darkness. I'm going to have no way and nowhere to go. So we're going to follow God this week and hopefully after this week. Independence. If you ever feel like, you know, I'm taking things into my own hands, I want to be independent, run the other way as fast as possible. Run the other way as fast as possible. It's a scary thing to desire independence, especially in the spiritual life. It's a scary thing. But we're going to follow God this week. And where Christ is headed, he tells us. When we follow him, he tells us where we're headed. Where is Christ headed this week? Where is Christ headed on Good Friday? The cross. So if we're following him, that's where we're headed to. And that's why it shows us, the cross shows us, that the key to following him is not independence, because independence is ultimately what? Selfishness. But Christ gave himself for us. The key to following him, is denying myself, submitting to him, and actually, that's when real freedom is found. That's when we really feel free. Not feel. That's when we really are free. Is when we submit to God and we follow him. The ninth hour, I'll conclude with this, so I don't keep you guys too long and before, so I have my voice for Good Friday. The ninth hour homily came to us from St. Shenouda. And this is actually one of my favorite homilies that we read. This one, there's another one that we read later, but this one's really nice. Comes to us from the ninth hour, and he says the following. It is for us and to all Christians to liken ourselves to Jesus Christ, the true light. It is for us and to all Christians to liken ourselves to Jesus Christ, the true light. And that's basically following him. The only way we can have that, the only way we can imitate the true light is by following him. But we are human, and he is the master, whose servants we are. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep of his hand. He is the begotten of the Father, but we are his creation. He is light of light, and he died for us sinners. Everything so far is what? We're dependent. We're dependent. He gave himself up to the wood of the cross for our sake, so that he might bestow upon us his kingdom. If the Lord, despising the shame, died for his servants, shouldn't rather the servants die for their Lord? So that according as he died, they shall die with him, and as he lived, they also shall live with him. The spiritual life is not complicated necessarily, but we have to do our best to get rid of those distractions along the way. The distractions and the temptation to take things into our own hands and to follow God and what he's telling me to do. Both in the commands of God and what he gives us in the commands and in the scripture and what the church teaches us. And also in our personal life when I know he's telling me to do something. And even though I want to justify my way around it, I want to do something else, or I feel comfortable, like the people felt comfortable and they felt independent, God is warning us that this is an issue that we need to examine. We need to examine. Am I following God with an open mind, with open hands, and with an open heart? Am I letting him lead me? And yes, leading me to the cross sounds scary, but that's actually where freedom is found. That's where we found our freedom. The cross is where we got everything back and then some. And we continue to do that when we follow Christ day by day. And glory be to God forever. Amen.